Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Week 11 already of the NFL season. It's time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. The show is brought to you in part by our friends at Giovanni's Pizza of Wilmer. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about all things NFL Week 11. Our goal is to help you win your league. And if we can do that, shoot us a text on the Car Shop Inc. text line 320-235-9094. Let's introduce who is on the show. Tell me how the Loon Fantasy season is going. Start with you, Lyle.
It's been a rough one. I believe I'm now the lowest point scorer in the Loon League this year. And as much as I was excited for McCaffrey and Mr. Kenneth Walker III to lead my team back to victory, I don't know. It's not looking promising. That's what happens when you have Jaden Daniels having a rough Thursday night for you.
Jack, you were wheeling and dealing at the trade deadline.
Yeah, Daddy needed help. Basically, all I had was Bijan and Kenneth Walker and zero receivers, no tight end, and a tight end mandatory. So basically traded those guys away. I got Tracy Jr., Robinson Jr., their backups, Travis Kelce, and a couple of wide receivers that I could actually start, like Brian Thomas Jr. and stuff. I got a lot of juniors in the mix there. But yeah, I'm sitting at, Lyle, I've got 63 more points than you. But you've got two more wins. I would take that any day. I'm 2% to win. Get this. Ryan Dolezal is behind me. He's tied for fourth at 3-7. He's at 3%. I'm the lowest percent to make the playoffs right now. So, you know what? We're going to play this week, and we're just going to see what happens. Toilet bowl season, here I come.
Lowest percentage to make the playoffs in the Loon League is Mr. Justin Havemeyer at 1%, Jack. So you're doing all right.
Is he at 1?
1% playoff chance.
You know what? I didn't scroll down that far. He is 1%. But guess what? He's got more points than me and Lyle.
Right on. Well, I'm 6-4. I have an 87% chance of getting into the playoffs, and I pulled off a trade this week. And I guess I didn't pull it off. It was proposed to me, and got myself a little Puka Nacua, a nice addition to Bijan Sloop, the name of my Loon League. And yeah, it's going all right. Well, on the show, we were going to have start sit for week 11. That's our Trenchum and Benchum segment. The United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors. And first, we need to talk about this week's injury report. Well, I don't know. Dak Prescott, hamstring. I guess it's off the bone. All right. Short-term IR, it says here, he is out for the year. And that's fine anyway. Trevor Lawrence not playing again this week. Looks like surgery on his non-throwing arm. So back to Mac Jones. As far as running backs,
either arm for Trevor Lawrence, the non-throwing arm.
Exactly. Either. This year it has been. Running backs making the list this week: Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard, both on the list for Carolina. Miles Sanders, you don't care about. Chuba Hubbard, he'll suit up. Aaron Jones had a rib injury last week and was carted off, but he sat in the passenger seat of the car, so I think he's going to play. Najee Harris, Tank Bigsby also showing up on the report for this week. Wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, he did play Monday night, but he's got a real wrist issue or something. I mean, people are making stuff up that he's trying to get money in a lawsuit after he got pulled out of the car. I don't know for sure, but it sounds like it's a real live injury. Xavier Worthy, who has been somewhat of a rookie disappointment, has a shoulder injury right now. CeeDee Lamb is going to probably be playing through that shoulder injury as well. Chris Olave, of course, with a concussion. I only bring that up because the Saints are talking about putting him back on the field. With tight ends, George Kittle, Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta, all looking like they're going to suit up. But as we always say, you need to check the injury reports tomorrow morning to make sure. So, Thursday night football, Lyle. Let's talk about it. Saquon saves the day for the Eagles. Are the Eagles like a real life contender all of a sudden?
Yeah, I think things have changed for them. They suddenly have gotten healthy. I mean, they got AJ Brown back, and that was a big deal. And Hurts is playing some of his better ball too. But I think the biggest part is just their defense. I think early in the season they were not, you know, anything special, but now scoring 20 points on them is an accomplishment. And if they can keep that offense clicking like it has been, I mean, it's a race to 25, 30 points, and I think they're going to win that race more often than not.
Jack, the Commanders, 7-4, even with the loss this week. Jaden Daniels not playing Jaden Daniels type ball over the last couple of weeks. Any concerns for the Commanders?
No, I think what I think happened is people have gotten a little bit more tape on them and figured them out. You know, we had Dan Quinn in Atlanta. He was very easy to figure out. He can take a good team. It's not like he's coming up with new plays and you know, changing the game of football. So I think this is more of a system coaching thing than a Jaden Daniels talent thing. He's got his running backs back. He's, you know, they've got McLaurin. They really don't have a wide receiver too. I mean, that's probably their biggest concern. Zach Ertz is like their tight end too right now. And I mean, when you're playing the Eagles, when you're playing a quarterback that leads the league in rushing almost every year and has more rushing touchdowns than any other quarterback, and then the running back also gets 198 total scrimmage yards and two touchdowns. There's just not many teams that when the running back gets 198 combined yards and two touchdowns that you're going to beat, because the amount of time it takes to do that is, you know, it's crazy. So, but here, the Commanders, John, they've got Dallas and Tennessee coming to them and then a bye week. Mm-hmm. Perfect schedule for them. Let's get two more and then go into the bye week at what, 9-4? And then they're definitely in the playoffs, because then they've got at New Orleans. That's winnable. Philly coming to them. They'll probably lose. But then they finish up with Atlanta and Dallas. They can beat both of those teams. They may only have one more loss on the schedule. So Commanders are going to the postseason. I say just keep doing what you're doing and, you know, maybe get a more skilled offensive coordinator in there. I'm assuming Dan Quinn's doing some of the play call.
Yeah, there have been – I don't like saying nice things about Washington, but they've been a real bright spot this year. All right, we're going to take our first break. We're going to come back and talk daily fantasy news and strategy. It is the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. We're back on the – what's turning into a memorable edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome, at least off air. Time to talk daily fantasy news and strategy for week 11. And I threw in quite a few lineups this week, but we'll turn it over to you guys first. Quarterbacks, Lyle, what do you see?
I got two guys on my list. I'll go with the cheaper option here. I'm going to go with Justin Herbert, $5,300. They are playing the Cincinnati Bengals at home, and the Bengals' pass defense isn't anything to write home about. And we've talked about this, I think, a little bit over the last couple of weeks, that the Chargers are starting to throw the ball a little bit more. Last week wasn't the prime example of that, but Herbert has been getting 20-plus fantasy points, I think three of the last 5 weeks. And if he could do that, that'd be a four times for the week. I like Herbert against the Bengals.
Jack.
Yeah, I'm going all Russell Wilson, picking on Baltimore coming to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh quietly becoming the toughest place to visit again, like it used to be back in the day when they played smash mouth football. I was against putting in Wilson for Fields, but I should have known better. Mike Tomlin, to me, is the number one coach I would want to have in Atlanta. I think the guy is just unbelievable, and he saw whatever this is. And Wilson's back. I mean, he's doing pretty darn well. $5,900. He's averaging almost 20 fantasy points per game, and you can get him for $5,900. And you get George Pickens with him automatically, right? So I'm in.
Yeah, Wilson, I've got Wilson in one of my lineups for sure, and Pickens both. I've stacked them both. And I like that call 100%. There's no middle ground with Russell Wilson. It's either the dump off or the moon ball. And I'm hoping for a lot of moon balls. I've picked on that matchup. A sneaky GPP play that I like this week is Drake May. $5,600. And the Rams, they played Monday night. They're traveling all the way across the country to New England. I don't know. I like Drake May, and I'm actually stacking him with another guy. I like Bo Nix this week. I'm even throwing my man Jameis out for one week. We'll see what happens on that. Running backs, Jack.
I like it. I like the picks. Yeah, pay attention. I've got some Drake May talk in Trenchum and Benchum. Mm-hmm. All right, so for running backs is where I spent my money. I'm going Joe Mixon. I'm not screwing around. Houston at Dallas. Everyone in Houston's injured except Joe Mixon. So I think he's the chalkiest of the chalk. You gotta swing and get him in the lineup. And I paired him up with Kareem Hunt, Kansas City going to Buffalo. Buffalo 31st against the run. Kansas City wants to win this game. Yeah, Mahomes is going to have to get flashy. But again, I think if they don't give Kareem Hunt 15 carries and some goal line work, I think the Bills are going to run away with it. So I'm hoping that Kareem Hunt gets his looks.
Wow.
Yeah, I had Wilson down. I had the running back you're talking about down, and I got Jahmyr Gibbs. I think this is a game where Jacksonville clearly is going to be an underdog, and I expect Detroit to run the ball a lot. He had 19 carries last week. He's starting to get a little bit more volume. I know they still have David Montgomery there, but at $7,300, I think Gibbs finds the end zone and gets you your 20 fantasy points.
The guy I've got in all four of my lineups is McCaffrey. I'm with you, Jack. I am not screwing around with running backs at all. Got some Bijan in lineups. My value play, it's not a great matchup, is Audric Estime. He's $4,500. He got the lion's share of the carries last week in Denver, and it's starting to look like Javonte Williams isn't even a thing after last week. So I'll throw him out there as a value running back pick. I could save some money for some other picks in there at $4,500. I'm not expecting too much. How about wide receivers, Lyle?
Well, I love the Pickens call. Like, Wilson was the other guy on my list, so I like that that's a matchup or a stack. DK Metcalf is my guy this week. $6,500. He's supposed to be coming back from injury. Basically, when Metcalf plays, they throw the ball 10 times more per game. I don't know what really leads them to do that, but they're definitely throwing the ball more. They're going to be on the road, probably chasing a lead because they're playing the Niners. And I like Metcalf's had three big road games. I think he's averaging 20-some fantasy points on the road this year, too. So I like Metcalf.
Wide receivers, Jack.
Yeah, even with the missed games, Metcalf still leads the Seahawks in targets and receptions. Mm-hmm. So he's a beast. I'm stacking Pickens with Wilson. I think that might be a popular one this week, obviously. I can also afford, based on my cheaper picks later, I'll walk you through, some Equanimeous St. Brown, Jacksonville at Detroit. Lyle, I agree, it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think the Detroit's not going to take their foot off the gas. I think they're going to hang a half a hundred on him. So he's $8,000. And then because I spent $15,000 on receivers already, I'm going cheap, $4,400. The newly resurged Marquez Valdes-Scantling with Cleveland coming to New Orleans. Cleveland terrible on defense. Nobody else really to catch the ball other than Kamara in New Orleans, which Kamara's a great play this week. So I'm going MVS, $4,400. Look, you catch two touchdowns in fantasy football, you're number one in my waiver wire claim. So I'm also starting him in the league as a WR1.
Three catches, like 150 yards and two scores. I have him in a lineup too, Valdes-Scantling. Jack, just to be clear, you said Equanimeous St. Brown. You meant Amon-Ra, right?
Oh, I meant Amon-Ra.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
sorry.
Good.
I always see the initials, yeah. Amon-Ra. Yeah, Equanimeous dropped off.
Yeah, gone. Gonzo. Yeah, some other value plays I like is Kayshon Booty from New England. Why not? I'm going to stack him with May. Another great value play for me is I'll keep throwing Nick Westbrook-Ikhine out there. You're not – clearly he's a target in the red zone. Why not give him a shot? I think he's a GPP play. I like Zay Flowers in my Russell Wilson, George Pickens stack. I'm bringing back with Zay Flowers. I think that's going to be the guy who Lamar is going to keep targeting. And I guess we'll just see. Jack, tight ends.
Yep. All right. So I wanted a piece of the Chiefs-Bills game. I know I've got Kareem Hunt in there. I'm going on the other side. Chiefs are hard to run against, but man, you could pass against those suckers, especially with your tight end, Dawson Knox, $3,500. Two reasons I picked him. One, the Kincaid injury. I don't think Kincaid plays. And two, he's only $3,500. So if he can get me two, three receptions, I'm good. That allowed me to spend $8,000 on St. Brown, $7,700 on Mixon. So going cheap.
Tight ends, Lyle.
Yeah, I'm going with T.J. Hockenson, $4,700. Darnold clearly is finding him intermediate, short routes all over the place. I just think he's going to be the safety line for Sam Darnold this week, trying to figure out how to not throw three picks in the red zone.
Yeah, I like Hockenson too. I've got four lineups right now with four tight ends. Hockenson's in one of them. I grabbed some David Njoku because this is the end of the year, starting the second half of the season. That's usually when he explodes and Jameis is slinging the ball all over the place. Jonnu Smith actually is turning into a thing in Miami. I don't know. And I also like Taysom Hill. Why not? $4,500, Swiss Army knife. We've talked about him ad nauseum. Defenses, what do you got, Lyle?
You know, Miami Dolphins. Get the Las Vegas Raiders, who have no idea who's going to be their quarterback. It's just $3,000. I know Miami's defense hasn't been anything special all year, but usually late in the season games in Miami don't end up well for the visitor. So I like the Dolphins this week.
The hot rumor, Desmond Ridder might be taking snaps for Las Vegas.
Yeah. The guy that can't make any other team, but he can make a Vegas team. Yeah.
Jack, what do you got, defenses?
I saw earlier in the week that they announced Minshew will be the starter. So I don't know that that holds up for the whole game, but, you know, Minshew's the starter. I'm going Texans for 3,100, going to Dallas. Dallas is looking real bad. You know, we've got a guillotine league. There's four teams left. I dropped CeeDee Lamb to the waiver wire. Mm-hmm. I don't want anything to do with the guy. Like, it's over, man. Like, they may pick it up. Rush may pick it up. But there are certain leagues where I can't take the risk on CeeDee Lamb having a five-point game when I could have traded him. So I'm going with the Texans, going to Dallas. And just to add in my flex at $3,600, I'm going with some Westbrook, Akeen, Tennessee, Minnesota going to Tennessee. I think he gets 7 or 8 fantasy points, and for 3,600 in my flex, that's all I need.
Yeah, and there's a chance with him that he could get a lot more than that, too. That's what I like about guys, high upside guys like that. All four of my lineups, I splurged on defense. I don't know what to say. I like what the guys said, certainly, but I went with the Lions against Mac Jones. I spent the $3,800 with a smile on my face and thought this, I mean, Jacksonville on the road in Detroit against that defense and Mac Jones taking snaps, I think that is going to be ugly with a capital U. I never splurge on defense, but I did this week.
Do you think Detroit will bring out their new defensive weapon?
Which one?
The guy they signed to replace Hutchins?
Oh, yeah. Za'Darius Smith. Yeah.
Yeah, Za'Darius Smith. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. Yeah. You may make this is a good game to debut him, because even if he messes up, probably won't matter.
No, right. Exactly. All right. We'll come back and remind you, too, that if you miss any part of today's show, you can go online, 941theloon.com, or grab, of course, that free 941 The Loon app. We put the show in its entirety on there. United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors up next on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Don't forget to grab yourself a Giovanni's Pizza, or two, or five, or some for next week. Giovanni's, fresh ingredients, locally owned. They have take and bake options. They deliver. You can go pick it up. You can do anything. Go to giovannisofwilmer.com and see what they all have. They've got pizza, wings, wraps, pasta. They've got salads if you're into that type of thing. They've got specialty pizzas that are just out of this universe. Call Giovanni's in Wilmer now. Take a break from cooking tomorrow for the games. 235-5555, online again at giovannisofwilmer.com. It's now time for the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. What do we got for quarterbacks this week, Lyle?
I think there's only one that really jumps out at me, and he's available in about 50% of leagues, and that's Geno Smith. In our PBR format, he's QB11 for the season, getting almost 17 fantasy points. And they're playing the Niners, who have a good defense, but Geno's just a solid play. So if you're looking for somebody for a bye week replacement, I think he's definitely at the top of my list.
What do you got, Jack?
I'm going Drake May all the way. If you need a quarterback that's available, he's available in 84% of leagues right now. And I'm going to give you a dart throw for later on. Week 14 is a big bye week. And Will Levis is hosting Jacksonville in Tennessee that week. So if Levi's jeans stays in the starting lineup, I would pick him up and just plan to plug him in for week 14 and then drop him again. But you better pick him up now, because otherwise you don't want to have to submit a waiver claim for this guy. You just want to pick him up.
So a guy available in 58% of leagues who was a high draft pick, well, relatively high draft pick, got benched for taking himself out of the game, and now they're bringing him back, is Anthony Richardson at 58% of leagues. Again, a dart throw. We know what this guy can do with his arm, and that's not much. Are they going to turn him loose with his legs? Probably. They need to know what they have or if this was a fail. Anthony Richardson will probably be starting the rest of the year as long as he stays healthy. The other dart throw in 92% of leagues, Jameis Winston is still out there, but you got to know what you're getting. This guy can throw the ball. He just likes to throw it to the other team a lot. So, you know, if, like Jack said, bye week blues, you got a couple of options out there. How about running backs, Jack?
Yeah, so, okay, there's a couple little options out here. I'll stick to one and just see if you guys hit the other ones. But one that I've picked up in a couple of leagues as a backup, and I'm just hoping he gets me a few points, is Cam Akers. Obviously, he's not the starter. Jones is the starter, but Jones has been carrying a questionable tag. And the Vikings are looking like they need every bit of help they can, you know, trying to keep Darnold from throwing the ball to the other team as much as possible. So I've got Akers in where I've got like Benson and different running backs on bye weeks where I'm just hoping the guy can get me a touchdown or maybe get me 6 or 7 points with some receptions. And I would say Akers should be benched in or, you know, on the bench in all teams, just based on Aaron Jones being so susceptible to injury right now.
Yeah, I think Ty Chandler is droppable. Lyle, yeah, running backs. Down. Yep.
I got two different names I'll throw out. One's more just of a stash slash hope for some injury, I guess. Ray Davis, when he has played for Buffalo, he has been quite good. But last week, of course, he got a goose egg for you. But I think if for some reason Cook goes down, I think he's a very valuable handcuff. And I did pick up Audric Estime in league. 14 carries is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, that's pretty big volume these days for a running back. So if they are truly going to start feeding him the ball 10, 15 times, he's worth a pickup in a deeper league.
Yeah, I like the Audric Estime call, too. I mean, he didn't just out-carry Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams like had one carry, and that was it. Gus Edwards, available in 75% of leagues. He's back. He looked fresh last week. He had 10 carries, 55 yards. Nothing special, but remember that Harbaugh wants to run the ball. Dobbins' workload is like Earl Campbell this year on legs that are a little sketchy. So Gus Edwards will get you points. He isn't just that, you know, keep on the bench handcuff just in case. He's going to get you some points. And he might get mixed in a little bit more. This may turn into more of a committee. How about wide receivers? What are you seeing out there, Lau?
I'll take a couple guys. One, Adam Thielen looks like he might return to the field. Again, deeper leagues, or if you're having some bye week issues, if he does suit up, I could definitely see him being a flex option. And one that just throws me off is Rashad Bateman's out there. He's available in 75% of leagues. Right now, he's wide receiver 28 in our setup. So I know they've added some new pieces to that Baltimore Ravens offense, but I think he at least deserves some flex consideration. He's out there in more than three quarters of all leagues.
Jack.
Well, here's my specialty because I have no wide receivers. I am long in the tooth on this study job. Pearsall's available in 63% of leagues. You know, he had really good game last week, high number of targets. I think he's 100% should be on rosters. He should be 100% owned at this point. Dart throws, you've got MVS who showed out with New Orleans and they're playing the Browns this week. And then you've got Mike Williams who's playing against Baltimore this week in Pittsburgh. So both of these guys are available in either almost 70 to 90% of leagues. So for instance, I'm 2% to make the playoffs. I've got to score bigger, go home. I've got MVS in there as a dart throw in my lineup versus like a Rashad Bateman, because I need 30 fantasy points. I don't need 10. Mm-hmm. So you got to think about what you need. If your normal guys get you the normal points and you're going to normally lose anyways, throw a freaking dart and see what happens. Maybe you get that Hail Mary.
Ricky Pearsall, the healthiest pass catcher for San Francisco, and he got shot earlier in the season. That's interesting for me. Kayshawn Booty, talked about him in Daily Fantasy last week against Chicago. 4 receptions, 47 yards, almost had 10 points. Consistently getting points with a rookie quarterback. Like, is this turning into a you know, it took a while for Bo Nix to find Courtland Sutton, and maybe it's doing the same thing. I'm picking on this game. I'm not expecting it to be a huge scoring game or anything like that, but there's a lot of things to like about what you're seeing from Drake May and the Patriots right now. So Kayshawn Booty in deeper leagues, I'm not saying start him just yet, but maybe in a deeper league or like our dynasty league is, we talk about the Loon League waiver wire. It's the dynasty league's even worse. But I like him as a stash player to see how he finishes out the year. What do you got for tight ends, Jack?
Yeah. Dynasty league is rough as well. I'm going to repeat Munbringbeck's available at 97% of leagues. Kincaid, I don't think is going to suit up and play. You know, it's against the Chiefs. I think they got to use everything they've got. And so I like him this week for sure. I don't know about going forward, but this week I'm good with Knox in the lineup.
Wow.
Yep, two guys. Mike Gesicki, I like him more if T. Higgins doesn't suit up, but it sounds like Higgins might be returning, and that might take away a little bit of the targets Gesicki's been getting lately. And then real deep league, especially PPR, Will Dissly. He's gotten, I think he's averaging 5 catches the last 5 games. So, you know, 5 catches for 30 yards, that's 8 points in PPR. So, and like I said, The Chargers, the L.A. Chargers, they are starting to throw that ball a little bit more, and Disley's a big part of that.
Yeah, that was going to be my guy. Hayden Hurst is really just not – they're not running him out there anymore, so Disley's the guy. The one other one, you know, we talk about him every single week, Taysom Hill, available in 59% of leagues. How about defenses, Lyle?
I'm ill-prepared for defenses. I never look for defenses. I never look for them. We've eliminated them in all our leagues pretty much now.
We pretty much have. And a lot of times it takes us a long time to get through this part, so we don't even talk about them this week. But since we had some time, I thought I would bring them up.
I got them. I'm ready to go.
Take it, Jack.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get you some Dolphins then. The Dolphins, they're not available in a lot of leagues. They're only available in 30% of leagues. But if they're in your league, they've got Vegas, New England, the Jets. I mean, you know, three teams you want to start a defense against here. And those teams coming to Miami, they should be the number one defense those weeks or top two or three. So if you can still pick them up in your league if they're available, pick up that Miami defense. I think they're underrated even though they're owned. I think a lot of people just aren't really starting them.
Lyle, you got one yet?
Oh, it's still pretty rough. This week, I have Green Bay available in a league, but they're only available in 30% of leagues. I get the Bears this week, but I might be the pick for the week.
That was going to be mine, Green Bay. Now, on my screen, it says they're available in 49% of ESPN leagues, but who knows if that's true or not at this point. Yeah, Green Bay.
That's what I've got.
Yeah, Green Bay going up against, there's nothing good happening in Chicago right now after firing. Well, the good thing was is they fired Fraudren, that offensive line, they're just a bunch of turnstiles. It's time for Trenchum and Benchum for the remaining games for week 11. We will talk about who to start, who to sit, and other things football. It's a fantasy football foursome on the Loon. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for being with us today. If you miss any part of the show, you know what to do. Go to 941theloon.com or get that free 941 The Loon app. It is Trenchum and Benchum time. We're going to go through the remaining games for Week 11. On bye this week, Arizona, Tampa Bay, and we can thank the NFL because also on bye, Carolina and the Giants. And you don't have to be subjected to that torture. Jack, first game's yours, Green Bay, Chicago.
All right, well, it should be Green Bay's game. It's theirs to lose. Chicago's looked really bad. Jordan Love, he's in the trenches. Chicago's ranked first against QBs on ESPN leagues, but it doesn't matter. Jordan Love's still going in the trenches. Josh Jacobs carrying the questionable tag. Been carrying it for most of the year, it seems like. He's in the trenches. And then you've got your cornucopia of receivers, if you will. Reed's the favorite. If you can get him or Dobbs in the lineup, I think they're a WR, low WR1, WR2. I wouldn't mind throwing Watson in as a two or a sexy flexy. And then you've got Kraft, tight end one. I mean, if you've got like Kelsey, maybe he's your tight end two, but he's a good flex option too. He's second in targets with the Packers. So I think that he's definitely got to get into your lineup. Onto the Chicago side of the ball. I like seeing Caleb Williams fail personally just because he's such a cocky, arrogant jerk. But DeAndre Swift, he's going in the trenches. If it's me, John, I'm putting Caleb Williams on the bench. I think guys like Drake May outscore him this week. I think Winston outscores him this week. I think there's a lot of players when you're approaching fantasy playoffs. Can't afford to have Caleb Williams in your lineups. Put him on the bench. And then Allen or Moore, if you feel like you got to trench one of these receivers, I don't think you do. I really think Swift is about the only play in Chicago. Their team looks sexier than it actually is. I mean, it's beer goggles, John. It's 2 a.m. It's closing time. I've had a few. I see Chicago. I'm thinking they're not that bad. No, they're terrible. They're legitimately terrible.
It's a pretty rotten situation. As I talked about earlier, that offensive line, that is something. And Caleb Williams is developing some pretty bad habits to stay alive. Green Bay is favored by 5.5. I thought that was low. Lyle.
Generous.
Yeah. Lyle, Jacksonville, Detroit.
Yes, on to an even better quarterback and offense. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, yeah. Yes. Mac Jones led Jacksonville Jaguars. He's so bad, he's pretty much ruining all the fantasy value that Trevor Lawrence was kind of ruining, I guess, at the start of the season. You're not playing Mac Jones, of course. Unfortunately, you're not playing Travis Etienne. Well, maybe you are. Maybe in a really deep league or a bye week issue, I could maybe.
Oh, that's RB1 on my team, Lyle. RB1.
I'll offer him up as a flex option this week. He basically, since returning from injury, has not really had anything to write home about. I think he had an 11-point fantasy output a couple weeks ago, but he's been single digits since. So I think you can find better options. Same with Tank Bigsby. His value is completely plummeted. He's got 2 fantasy points the last 2 games, so he's on the bench. And Brian Thomas, he has 9 fantasy points the last 2 games. I think he's a dart throw flex option for you this week. As for the Lions, you're starting all your Lions. I think Jared Goff's, even after that 5 interception game last week, I think you can chalk that up to a weird game. But I think Goff is a safe top 12 option. Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery are both at least, I think they're probably low-end RB1s, I think, at this point. And I like the matchup for Gibbs this week. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a must-start every week. Jameson Williams, I think he's invisible now, so I don't think you're playing him anymore. And Laporta is out this week, so keep him on the bench. Do suit up that Detroit Lions defense and enjoy the game. Enjoy the game.
Detroit favored by just 13.5. I get
hey, John?
To. Yeah.
Sorry, I just wanted to say, like, don't be afraid of garbage time if you're in a spot like me where it's go big or go home. You know, yeah, there's a couple WR2s and stuff like that in Detroit that you don't probably want to play, but, you know, maybe for daily or if you're desperate like I am, some of these guys may see the whole fourth quarter.
Right.
So keep
right.
it in mind.
And Jameson Williams, always one play away from a 99-yard touchdown, you know, type of situation. All right, Raiders, Dolphins. Well, we can be quick about this. I guess Gardner Minshew is taking snaps and not Desmond Ridder, but we don't know. And does it matter? Not really. Alexander Mattison, Zamir White. God, I hope you don't have him on your team and have to worry about it. I know Jack would say those are RB1s.
Love to have Alexander Mattison. Love to have him. Welcome in, son. Welcome home.
Jacoby Myers had 100 yards receiving in their last game. And so, sure, flex play on him. Brock Bowers, you bet. He is the tight end one, far as I'm concerned. Over to Miami Dolphins, you're starting Tua. You're starting Achan. Now, do you start Mostert? He fumbled and then got like no carries last week. So, boy, keep the caution light out for Raheem Mostert. Jalen Wright got some more carries, but I don't think enough to start Jalen Wright. Tyreek Hill has the wrist injury, but he did get you a touchdown last week. Is there a bigger skid mark than Jalen Waddle? I mean, we drafted him high. We know he's talented. He got 55 yards in their opening drive and then like ended the game with 57 yards. Unbelievable. Flex play at best. And Jonnu Smith is turning into something, but only a tight end mandatory start. That's it. And you are starting with confidence the Miami Dolphins defense. And Miami is favored by 7 at home. Jack, Rams, Patriots.
Let's go. Yeah, Tua for MVP, man. Without him, that team's all garbage.
Yep.
All right, so we got Kyren Williams at New England running back. We're obviously throwing him in the trenches. New England 24th against the run. Kyren and the whole Rams team is something I whiffed on this year in the draft. I just didn't like him and didn't take any of them. Cooper Kupp, PPR stud, he's in the trenches. I've got Nacua in the trenches. Cup is a one. Nakua is the bottom of the ones at the beginning of the twos, just because he is a little bit volume dependent. Sometimes the game script doesn't require Nakua to be involved, and he's not a relief valve like Cup is. DeMarcus Robinson is a sexy flexi. He has gotten four touchdowns in the last three games, but he's got some matchup dependent stuff coming up. But, you know, he is owned in a lot of leagues. So he's a sexy flexi play for me. On to the New England side of the ball. I got Drake May in the lineups, John. I am benching my Kirk Cousins, and I am trenching Drake May. And this works out for me either way, because last time I did this, Kirk Cousins teed off and scored like, you know, 25 fantasy points. So the Falcons will play well, or I won't have to deal with it. One of the two. Drake May's in the trenches for me. Stevenson, I've got him in as a running back one, or maybe RB two, depending on how your team is set up. Hunter Henry, best receiving option they've got in New England. I've got him in the trenches, and that's it. I mean, I would think Booty on a flex play. He's the most likely. I think he's kind of the sexiest of those. The Rams are bad against the pass, but New England doesn't. They just don't throw the ball a whole lot. A lot of defense, a lot of running, a lot of Drake May scrambles. So even though I think he does lead the rookie QBs in passing touchdowns, but Hunter Henry's got some of those running backs. So maybe three, four plays in New England. Should be actually a kind of fun little smash mouth game to watch.
Rams favored by 4.5 points. Lyle, Cleveland, New Orleans.
Yeah, the Jameis Winston era continues for the Browns. And even though I know we've talked a little bit about him, that Jameis can put up some big fantasy points, he can for the other team too. So I think I could find 12 better quarterbacks this week. I'll keep him on the bench. They're slowly getting Nick Chubb involved in this offense. It hasn't been pretty, though, so far. He's pretty much averaging like 3.5 yards a carry. I think he's still an RB2 at this point, and he's definitely going to get the volume. So keep him in the lineup. Cedric Tillman, he's been a revelation. 22 fantasy points per game the last three games is what he's been averaging. He's a wide receiver, too, at this point. Jerry Jeudy, he's had 12 catches the last two games. So I think especially in a PPR setup, I think Jerry Jeudy could be a sexy flexi. And David Njoku definitely is in the trenches this week in a tight end mandatory league. So I got four starts for Cleveland. As for New Orleans, I think there really is only just one true start. Alvin Kamara is a RB1 this week. You definitely have to have him in your lineup. You could maybe make a case for Marquez Valdes-Scantling as a sexy flexi, or maybe sneak Taysom Hill in as a tight end. But Derek Carr is playing right now, I'm not sure I want to play any of the receivers or other tight ends. Just they're all on the bench or on the waiver wire for me.
That's fair. The Saints favored by 1.5. I get one of the games of the week here, one of what I would consider two, and that's Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Lamar Jackson could be on his way to his third MVP. He is just playing out of his socks, man. He is playing some good football. Derrick Henry, of course, is an RB1. Keaton Mitchell back in the mix. I think Keaton Mitchell would jump right over the top of Justice Hill. I'm not saying start either one of them, but something to keep your eye on in deeper leagues. Zay Flowers, you're starting him this week. Rashad Bateman had 8 targets last week. Didn't turn it into much, but he had 8 targets, 6 catches, and I think you can safely play him as a WR2, maybe a flex. Mark Andrews has turned back into a thing, but that's because Isaiah Likely was injured. Now Isaiah Likely does not have an injury designation next to his name. What does that do for Mark Andrews? I don't know. Maybe he's just getting healthier after his car accident. I still tell you to start him at least one more week and just see. Over to Pittsburgh. Well, this has turned into a thing now. Russell Wilson, I like him this week because you can throw on the Ravens. Ravens are tough against running backs. I'm not saying sit Najee and Jaylen Warren, but don't expect much out of them. If you've got two options better than them, I would play them. Maybe flex one of those guys. George Pickens, you're starting him this week. They brought in Mike Williams. I think he only caught one ball, and it was a touchdown. I think he only ran like 3 routes or something like that. But you're starting Pickens, and that's it. I'm not going to tell you about Pat Freiermuth or any of those guys. And the Steelers' D is fun, but, man, remember, it's Lamar Jackson. Baltimore favored by 3 on the road. Jack, Vikings, Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't know about that Baltimore game. The Steelers defense is legit.
Yeah.
And I like Warren out of the two running backs because I think Pittsburgh's got to keep up, and he's a better pass catch. Yeah. But all right, Minnesota, Sam Darnold. I spent some time looking at this. Last four games, 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Obviously, one of those games was this last Jacksonville game that was just brutal. I think you could still safely trench Sam Darnold this week in a 2QB. I definitely have him in the lineup, like in a super flex. There are definitely better quarterbacks this week, but I think, you know, he's only scored single-digit fantasy points twice this year. That was when the Jets came to Minnesota and then last week against Jacksonville. So he's done well against, you know, tougher opponents. Justin Jefferson's matchup proof. He's an obvious. Aaron Jones, still questionable with the ribs. Watch it. But if he's healthy, he's in the lineup for sure. Tennessee's 18th against the run. Hockenson has been a great addition. Great coming back, getting a lot of looks from Darnold. He's in the trenches. And he's taken a little thunder away from Addison. So I think you could probably, I'm going to say as a sexy flexi at best. And then watch the double cover Jefferson and Addison. I'll have 4 catches. But I personally would have Addison in my Loon League lineup. And then like in my Purple Pride lineup, I wouldn't because I have better options. So that's your lineup dependent on that side of it. On the Tennessee. Oh, and new kicker. I'm not sure who's the new kicker.
I can't remember his name.
I don't even know who the new kicker is, but keep an eye on that. Tennessee side of the ball. Calvin Ridley. John, we talked off air a little bit. Got a resurgence. Good DFS play, good to pick up, good to trade for. Levis has been getting him the ball. Minnesota is really bad against the pass, so I've got him in the trenches. I've got Will Levis as the very last of the quarterbacks you should consider starting, like maybe one above Jameis Winston kind of a deal, if you're super desperate, because the Vikings do turn quarterbacks over quite a bit. Tony Pollard on my team would be an RB1, but since I don't have him, I'm trotting out Tajay Spears as my RB2. So that's what I've got to do this week. I've got Westbrook in the DFS play just because he's got the potential to get there with that Vikings pass defense being so bad. So I would actually put him in the trenches as a sexy flexi as well. It's a game that looks like Minnesota should dominate, but so did the last one, and so did the Rams, and it just isn't happening. And eventually you just got to say it is what it is. I don't think the Vikings are as good as they are pretending to be, and I think Tennessee is actually a little better than what people think. So I think it's going to be a lot closer and more fantasy points on Tennessee than what we're imagining.
Minnesota favored by 5.5 points. Lyle, India.
I don't think they – have they covered once this year, John?
I don't know. That's not my wheelhouse.
Early in the year they were. Early in the year they were. Not since about week 5 or 6, but we'll see.
Indianapolis and the Jets, Lyle.
We got Anthony Richardson making his return again, I guess, his second return to the lineup. I have him in a dynasty league, so I'm excited that he's just going to get a chance to play. But I still am not really – I don't know if I'll even play him in that format. And if you're playing him in a 10-team league, I definitely think you have better options. So keep him on the bench, at least until he gets reacclimated to this offense. There's only really a couple guys you're playing in this one for the Colts. You're playing Jonathan Taylor. He's an RB1. You're playing Josh Downs. I know his production will probably take a little bit of a downturn, but he's averaging 14 points per game, fantasy points per game in a PPR setup. So he's safely a wide receiver 2, maybe downgrade him to a wide receiver 3 or a flex option this week. But where I'm really concerned is Michael Pittman. He's had 13 fantasy points the last 3 games. So I don't think I would put him in the trenches this week. I think you can find better options. And then as far as maybe a really deep dart throw or in a deeper league play, like Jack has been saying, you know, if you really need some big points, Alec Pierce could be a guy for you, but I'm going to keep him on the bench this week. As for the Jets, you're playing Breece Hall. You drafted him in the first round. You're playing him. He's an RB1. Garrett Wilson's, at least in our format, he is wide receiver number 2 overall. So you're suiting him up. And Devonta Adams, even though he's just a target hog that is inefficient, you still got to play him. He's still getting enough volume that I think he's a wide receiver 2 for you this week. But I don't think there's any other options. I don't think I could play Tyler Conklin. He belongs on the bench. And Braylon Allen just isn't getting enough volume to really do anything at the running back position. And I definitely wouldn't play either one of these defenses.
Jets are favored by 3.5 points. I get to talk about Seattle and San Francisco. We'll make her fairly quick. Geno Smith, the Niners punch Seattle in the face seemingly every time they play him. Geno Smith is going to have to throw the ball a lot. He's already throwing the ball a lot. Two quarterback leagues, deeper leagues, I don't mind Geno Smith at all. Kenneth Walker III and DK Metcalf are all starts for me. That's about it, far as I can see. I mean, I know JSN is maybe coming around. Tyler Lockett is Tyler Lockett. But I want higher upside guys than those two guys. Maybe it is JSN this week. I don't know for sure. But over to San Francisco, it's a little different. You're starting Brock Purdy. You're starting Christian McCaffrey, of course. You're starting Debo Samuel. If Juwan Jennings is healthy, you're starting him. He just stepped right into Brandon Ayuk's role and can be the guy if they need him to be the guy. Ricky Pearsall, I like him as a flex. Like I said earlier, he's healthy. He's the healthiest next to I guess Debo, and then you're starting George Kittle. He's been just a machine this year. I don't mind the Niners defense this week against Seattle, even though, well, no, it is at home. I thought it was in Seattle. So yeah, I like the Niners defense for sure. And San Francisco is favored by 6.5 points. Jack, you get Atlanta and Denver.
That's a big spread. All right, Atlanta. So here's the deal. I love Denver. I think Denver's playing great ball. On the Atlanta side, you still got to throw Bijan Robinson in the trenches. Doesn't matter what kind of defense they're playing or how high up the stadium is. I'm benching Kirk Cousins this week. I just don't like the matchup at all. Went back and looked at some of Kirk's games. You know, he's gotten single-digit fantasy points 3 times. He just had 10 against New Orleans. You know, basically, you take out those Tampa Bay games where he scored 36 and 28 fantasy points, and he's only scored 20 points one other time. So, cumulative a lot of points, and that's got him at the 9th position, but consistently not been great. So I got him in the trenches, on the bench this week. Drake London, I'm putting him in the trenches, honestly, at a WR2. Mooney, same level of a WR2, because I just don't know that the game script is going to work out to where they're able to actually make anything happen.
Jack, I'll stop you for 1 second. Mooney, I think it just came out that Mooney might have an Achilles problem, so we got to keep an eye on that for tomorrow for sure.
Yep. So, yeah, I've got him as questionable. I hope it's not. That would maybe be, other than Robinson, the biggest blow to the offense. I'm not starting a lot there. I am definitely getting Kyle Pitts in the trench because I think they're going to need a relief valve there. And then we'll talk about the Denver side of the ball. I've got Bo Nix in the trenches. I am all over some Bo Nix. Love me some Bo Nix. I think that was a great draft pick, that they're playing phenomenal ball. He's got 10 passing touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns. Cordell Sutton, WR1 this week, because if you want to see a wide receiver highlight, they will be showing the Falcons defense. Cordell Sutton will make the highlight reel this week. And then I do like Estime better than Williams as well. And that's the only starts I really have there. I'm only going 3. But I would certainly trench that Broncos defense. I think they're going to be really good this week.
You know, they're calling him Boomer Bo Nix because, he was in college for 14 years, and I don't know, he's like 25 years old. I think he's like older than Kyle Pitts. Anyway.
He's beyond adolescence and knows how to play the game now.
Yeah, right. And you're right. He has turned into a pretty good quarterback. I hate saying nice things about a Sean Payton-led team. I hate it.
I think of it more of like a John Elway managed team.
There you go. Denver favored by 2.5. And we're going to have to take this over to overtime for the fantasy football force. And we've still got 3 games to go, including another one that I would call the actual game of the week. But we're out of time on the FM side. So turn over to the app or go to 941theloon.com and you can hear us break down the last 3 games for week 11. All right, we want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas, and for Jack and Lyle, my name is John Jennings. We'll see you next Saturday on The Loon, but go join us for overtime on the Fantasy Football Foursome.